I hope that was a challenge for all of you. It definitely was a challenge for me as I learned that important truth this last semester through college. It has definitely changed my life. Today, I'm going to be speaking on a character in the Bible. This character we all know as John the Baptist. John the Baptist has been a great role model for me, especially this is one theme from John the Baptist's life that God has taught me this past year was humility. We see that in John's life as well. That's something I want to look at here tonight. But before we do, read you something I found here. It says, in 2010, a collapse at the San Jose copper gold mine in northern Chile trapped 33 men 700 meters underground. Luis Urzúa immediately recognized the seriousness of the accident and took charge, organizing the men for a long-term survival situation and helping them cope mentally with the situation. He made detailed maps of the area to help with the rescue effort and coordinate closely with the engineers on the surface. He was the last man to be rescued and remained cool and calm under the pressure, merely remarking, "It's been a bit of a long shift." Here we see this man. He was not a man of leadership. He didn't have any leadership position. Yet, we see him in this certain situation, and he took leadership. And there's something I want to share with you guys tonight. Many people say, "Do you know what? I'm not a leader. I don't lead any people. I don't have any leadership position." I'm here to say to you tonight that everyone becomes a spiritual leader when they get saved. You can have an influence over at least one person, whether in a good way or a bad way. And every single person here tonight, you're having influence on someone's life, whether you realize it or not. It can be in a good way, if you're following Christ, or it can be a bad way. You can only reproduce a disciple no better than yourself. We'll be turning to several passages here tonight, so stay with me. First of all, we'll turn to Matthew 28:19-20. First thing I like to look at John the Baptist is that he was a spiritual leader by being commissioned by God's will. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the world." Amen. Here we see the command of the Great Commission. This command wasn't just given to John the Baptist. We see this command was given to each and every single one of us. And as believers, we are to follow out this command by giving the gospel to everyone we come in contact with. Here we see that John, he was taking the leadership by giving the gospel. Here we see that it says, "Go ye therefore." This passage here is not optional. It's here as a command. It's a command for each and every single one of us. It's not an option for you to maybe give the gospel to someone. God has commanded you to give the gospel. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are called to give the gospel to all the world. God has given you the power that you need to reach a lost world because God is with us. And we hear in many, many situations of John the Baptist, we see him giving the gospel to Herod, telling him how it's unlawful for him to marry his brother's wife. We see many other opportunities where he preaches of the Son of God who's to come. Another passage I'd like you guys to turn to is John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 35. Here we see in this verse as well that he was a spiritual leader by being commissioned by God's will. It says, speaking of John the Baptist here, "He was a burning and a shining light." He was a burning and shining light, that first part of the verse there. No other man in the gospel was called a burning and shining light. John's primary purpose was giving forth the gospel, and that's what he did. Here we see he was a burning and shining light. And you know what? Lives are changed and transformed by the message that we are giving to others. This verse could very well mean that John was giving the gospel with passion. We see he was burning and shining light. He could be giving the gospel with passion. Do you know what? In order to give the gospel with passion, the gospel has to be a part of you. If it's not a part of you, if you don't understand the gospel, if it's not ingrained inside of you, you are not going to be able to give to others with passion. What kind of passion do we have? If our passion is not focused right, we'll be leading others wrongly. God is calling people today to become lights of the world. What kind of passion and message are we giving to others? How bright is your light shining? You know, we sing the song in, when we're children, the wise man and the foolish man. You see, the wise man, he built his house upon the rock. We see the foolish man, how he built his house upon the sand. And as Christians, we are to build our lives upon Jesus Christ, the rock, who stands firm in every situation. And when we stand firm in every single situation, base our lives upon God, when we speak forth the gospel and we are burning a shining light, God will not let us down. Could God say of us that we are burning and shining light in our lives? We have a responsibility as leaders to obey and complete the Great Commission in our lives today. If we cannot speak the gospel with passion, you know, there's got to be something wrong in our lives. You know, so often we look at this book and say, you know what, it's just a book to me. It's got a lot of verses in it. Yeah, it helps me every once in a while. There's something wrong there. This book is more than a book. This book changes lives. It tells you how you can go, know where you're going for eternity. It's God's book to us. It's his love book. You and I are called to be a bright light for God. Is that where we are? Is that where you are? If you want to be the right spiritual leader, you need to get a hold of God's word and give it to others. So not only do we see that spiritual leaders are commissioned by God's will. Secondly, I'll also see that spiritual leaders are consumed by God's glory. We see that through John the Baptist in his humility. Go ahead and turn a few pages back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and look at verse 30. Here we see John speaking and says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." This verse here was John the Baptist's motto throughout his whole life. Throughout his whole entire life, we see him increasing Christ and decreasing himself. Why was John the Baptist chosen to bring in Christ? Well, I believe it was because of his humility. He didn't have any pride in his life. And you know what? When we think of humility, we think of the exact opposite thing. We think of pride. And you know what? We may never get into horrible sins. We may never get into witchcraft. We may never get into murder someone. We may not even get into any other horrible sins that we can even think of. But you know, there's one sin we'll continually struggle with our whole entire life. That sin is pride. Pride is one of the biggest plagues. At the heart of every argument, conflict, trouble, gossip, hurt feeling, or broken relationship is pride. Everything we look at in the world today is because of pride. People say, "Do you know what? I know what's best. I want to do this." It's pride. They're putting themselves before others. We see this chaos of all these people going and destroying buildings and having these rallies and everything because they think they know what's best. They're looking to themselves. They're not looking to God. They're increasing themselves. God calls us to be humble. In James 4:6, we know that verse, says, "God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." I did some research on that verse there, and that verse says resisteth. And the Greek word for it is antitasomai. I don't know if you have any Greek scholars in the room, but that Greek word antitasomai, the tense, is a present middle indicative, which basically means God will consistently resist the proud. God will consistently resist the proud. But we look at the word didomi, which is the word giveth. It comes from the word didomi, the Greek tense. For that is the exact same thing. Present middle indicative means that God is going to continually pour out endlessly grace to the humble. So there we see it. God resists the proud. He'll continually resist every proud work you do. But you know what? He'll continually pour out his grace to those who are humble. Are you being humble? Or do you have pride in your life? What exactly does that mean for us as leaders today? Simply, if we have pride in our lives, God will even resist a proud ministry, a proud Bible study, a proud teaching opportunity, and even proud leaders. But if we're humble, God will exalt us. He'll give us grace that we need. We must humble ourselves and let God pour out his grace to us. If you look about three verses back there, verse 27, it says, "John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." Now we think of John. He must have seemed so great when he stood before Herod and said, "It is unlawful for you to marry your brother's wife." It must have been so great for him to stand in front of thousands of people in Palestine and preach the gospel. It must have seemed so great in order to be able to baptize the one for whom the world was waiting for. Yet, he didn't seem so great when he said, "A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven." Many times we look on our own lives, such as, and say, I can't be like John here. I can't do what he did. We look at others' lives as well, such as Peter and John. We look at Jonathan Edwards, Spurgeon, or even Billy Sunday, and attribute their special powers and success to their circumstances, their times, their parents and teachers. But can I say, there is so much more a satisfactory answer than their teachers or their giftings? This answer is Jesus Christ himself. These preachers had nothing that they had not received from heaven by the direct appointment and decree of God. Whatever success and blessing that we receive in our lives is because of God. He gives it to us. Many times we take that gift that God gives us and we use it in the wrong way. We use it to exalt ourselves. When we do that, God's going to resist us. We need to humble ourselves. Whatever task God gives us to do, we should do it with a humble spirit and leave all results with God. So how does this look in our lives? Are you receiving success in your work? As a leader, do you enjoy drawing crowds to yourself? Do you enjoy being the center of attention? Everything that God gives us is because of God's grace. No, God says he raises up one and setteth down another. God can easily do that to any human being. We see that he's done that to many humans already. They're so proudful or whatever, and instantly, just like that, they're in the lowliest position. Be thankful for all that God has given you, even if it is just one thing. No, I think of the lad who only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He had such a little gift, but yet God was able to use that little gift that he had and be able to feed 5,000 people. That's an impossible situation, but you know what? Yet God can do that with our lives. We may have only one certain gift that God has given us. We say, "Oh, I'm only good at this one thing. What good is that for?" God can take that situation, whatever gift that you have in your life, and he can use it to do an abundant, great thing that we can't even imagine. We can't even begin to comprehend. Only if we have humility in our lives. We use a gift that God has given us in a great way for his service. Psalms 29:2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name." As spiritual leaders, let's be humble and give glory to God where it is due. Now I was thinking, as I was preparing this message about humility, how humility can change our lives in many ways. If we were more humble, I believe we would spend less. We would say, I don't need to buy new clothing for me. I don't need this new car. But rather, we can fund greater works. We can send more missionaries into the fields because we realize it's not about us. It's about God. Possibly if we have humility in our lives, we will trim our schedule because of the things we see in our lives that are no longer important. Maybe the things in our lives that we have right now are because we want to do them. If you have humility in our lives, we could trim our schedule and we will have more time for ministry. We have our focus on God. If we had humility, we'll have a more attraction to God's word and stop living for hobbies or self. If we had humility, we would go to more prayer meetings and have less break time for self. I was thinking earlier about humility and how it could change many things in our lives. Even this list I gave you here. And it can change your life in many ways. So if we apply this humility to our lives, God can use us in a great way. There was this one time, I was about 14 or 15 years old, and I had one of my best friends over. His name was Zach. And it was on a Saturday, and we were going to take him to church the next day So we had him over for the whole day Saturday. We decided, you know, we're going to do some games, we're going to have some fun while we're here. And we had fun that Saturday. And it came evening time, and it got dark outside. And we didn't want to go to bed quite yet. So we decided, what can we do fun while we're still here? And it's already dark outside, we didn't know what to do. So we decided to do hide and seek in the dark. That's one of my favorite games I liked to do when I was a kid. We played hide and seek in the dark. Now, what you have to know is where I live is in a neighborhood. It's a little different than here. We have a neighborhood that I live in, there's houses very close together. And the house right behind our house just sold for auction, I believe, 2 to 3 weeks prior. So it's empty, no one's living there yet. So we decided to do hide and seek in the dark. Me and my friend Zach, we were going to go hide, and my brother, he was going to go try to find us. So we had about a 5 minute head start. We found some hiding spots, and we played where you continually move from hiding spot to hiding spot. You didn't have to stay there the whole entire time. So it was about 5 minutes into the game. My brother still hasn't found us. He passed us a few times. And me and my friend Zach decided to move to a new hiding spot. And this new hiding spot that we found was one of the best hiding spots, I would say, that I've ever found on our property before. It was right in the corner of our house. We have a log pile to the one side, and it's right inside a vine bush, right in the corner of our house. And if you shine a flashlight over it, you can see the bush, but you won't be able to see it very well inside. So we decided to hide there. Well, about 10 minutes passed by, 15 minutes passed by, 20. My brother still hadn't found us. I thought, man, this is the best hiding spot ever. I'm going to keep this spot here. I'm not moving. But long and behold, about a few minutes later from then, here comes two guys with flashlights walking down the driveway with a third person. I was like, wasn't sure who that was. My friend Zach, he was hiding with me. He eventually gave up the hiding spot. He just walked down and says, I'm going to give up. It's taking way too long. So he goes out. And I see him right there, just maybe about 30 feet. They're right there in our driveway. I'm still hiding there in the spot. And they're talking. I realize it's my brother. He's talking with these two guys with flashlights. And my friend Zach is with them. And long and behold, one of the guys with a flashlight shined a flashlight exactly right where I was hiding. I figured, oh, my friend Zach must have just given away my hiding spot. I'm going to pretend I'm still not here. So the guy with the flashlight says, all right, coming out, man. I'm like, what? Who is he? Tell me you're coming out. So I decided, no, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to stay here. So I stood there. Then he says, all right, coming out, boss man. I'm like, boss man? Who is this guy? And then eventually my friend Zach, he says, David, it's the cops. I'm like, oh. So I stood up. I was kind of like still shocked what was going on. And I walked out, and lo and behold, my brother, he walked onto the property that was just sold for auction. And some neighbors saw him with a flashlight there and thought it was a burglary or something going on, so they called the police. We had to solve that whole situation. But why I tell you that story? Well, simply because of humility. I was hiding in that hiding spot, and I thought I was so good in that hiding spot, and I thought I'll be fine. Nothing would be. But yet, I had to give up of my pride, of my hiding spot, and give up the hiding spot. I had to be humble. And many times, all of us, I believe, we like to go to our hiding spots. We have things in our lives that we like to hide. Say, do you want, I have this thing over here. It's okay, I'll just let it go. I won't deal with it. We'll hold it back. We'll hold it back from Christ. He won't let him deal with us. You want to have this other thing over here? I'll just let it go. It'll be okay. I'm just hiding it. I'll be fine. Many times in our own Christian lives, we are not humble enough to get right with God. Those things that we are hiding so that God can use us in a mighty way. As a leader, you are a spiritual leader. Where are you hiding in your life? If you're hiding things in your life, you're leading other people in the wrong way. You're not going to be able to see a victory in your disciples' life in that exact same area that you're struggling with. Just like with the video we saw. You can teach, no, you can't disciple anyone better than your own self. You can only give unto others without what you have received. If you don't have victory in your own situations, in your own lives, you're not going to see victory in your disciples' life. We need to have humility, just like John the Baptist. Say, he must increase, but I must decrease. Can that truly be said of you? Are you humble? Thirdly, I like to see that spiritual leaders are committed to God's truth. Spiritual leaders are committed to God's truth. And we see that through integrity. John the Baptist. Go ahead and turn over to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Look at verse 18. Mark chapter 6 and verse 18 says, "For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Here we see that John was unwilling to compromise in his life. What is compromising? Compromising is an inability to deal with the biblical data as God intends us to deal because we are overwhelmed with our own personal desires. Here we see John the Baptist going to Herod and saying, "It's not right for you to marry your brother's wife." You know what that's like? Just like in today's world, going up to the president of North Korea or Russia and saying, "You know what? What you're doing is wrong." You know, I don't know if I'll be able to have the guts to do that. And you know what happened to John the Baptist? Later on, we see that he was beheaded because he stood up for truth. Because he stood up for what was right in the face of opposition. Just like with the first point, we saw that John had a passion. And you know what? If he didn't have a passion with God's word, he probably wouldn't have been able to stand up for truth. If you don't have a passion with God's word, you're not able to stand up for truth in your own lives. Many times in our own lives, we like to take the easy route. We like to cut the corner. We like to go down the line that has the least resistance. Just like walking in a river. You've probably walked in a river before. You walk down, it's so easy to go with the current. You turn around the other direction, start going up the river. It's so much harder. And it's so much of a struggle. You'd rather just go with the flow. And you know what? Today, in a world of compromisers, it is so rare to see someone going against the face of opposition. To stand for truth, stand for what's for right. Many times, if we can get by with less than our best, we will do it. Finding someone who's uncompromising is very rare in today's world. When you, as leaders, are placing important points in your life of what decisions you are going to make, what decisions are you going to do? Are you going to stand up for truth, what's right? Or are you going to go with the world and not stand up for what's right? Or you can be like John the Baptist, who declared God's word and said what was truth. Unwavering integrity is vital to a life that glorifies God. And unwavering integrity is vital to a leader who is leading. Go ahead and turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and look at verse 23. John chapter 1, verse 23 says, "He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." We can see that John was having integrity in this verse by seeing how he used his time. He says, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. You know what? He used his life in the area of eternity. John was aware that life was brief and eternity was not. John's priorities were rooted deeply in the place where he was headed, and he wanted ours to be also. Being a leader of integrity means we choose to do what God's word says we are supposed to do. John may very well have felt that he was the only one proclaiming truth in these verses, but he still did it anyways. He was the one crying in the wilderness. When we think of a wilderness, it was barren, it's dry, it's hot. You know what? Many times we can be in the wilderness ourselves. We may feel like we're the only one out there. Are you still being a person of integrity? I proclaim the truth. You may be uncomfortable. Are you still the one proclaiming the truth? He described himself as the one in the wilderness. He may have been in hard times, but did not stop proclaiming God's word. He had integrity. As leaders, we need to have integrity and stand for truth even when it's uncomfortable and we're the only ones. Could the same be said of us? In hard situations or hard times come along, will we still be the only one in the crowd proclaiming the truth that God has given to us? We do live in a world of compromisers today, and we need people with integrity who will stand out and stand for truth. So all of you here today are spiritual leaders, each and every single one of you. And you're pointing someone a certain direction. Which way are you pointing them? As seen through the life of John the Baptist, spiritual leaders have to lead with the gospel with humility, and with integrity. Can those three attributes be said of you? Are you giving the gospel? Are you standing up for truth? And do you have humility in your own life? Are you being humble and letting God's grace pour through you? Could this be truly said of you? And if not, why not? What are you holding back? Are you having pride in your life? Not willing to get something right? God can use you in a mighty way, just like he did with the little lad with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. An impossible way. What is holding you back from becoming the right leader that God wants you to be? You know, God has a perfect will and perfect plan for each and every single one of us. And he wants you to be a perfect leader to those all around you. And if you are not obeying God and hearing to his word, if you are not continually being with God in devotions every single day and abiding in his word, you're not going to be able to have passion for God's word. God's going to be something distant to you. You're not going to be able to have truth. You're not going to be able to have integrity. It's going to be so easy to wander and waver from God's truth if you're not near him. Are you near to God? Are you being that leader that God wants you to be in order to lead the others? Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you for this truth that you have taught me throughout my college years, Lord. Lord, I pray that this truth, Lord, would be something that can be said of all of us, Lord. We all are leaders. We all have been from the day of salvation. May we continually point people in the right direction. May we have things right in our own lives. May there not be any pride in our lives. May we be humble. May we continually proclaim your word to others. May we have integrity in our lives, Lord. Integrity by proclaiming truth. Integrity by using our lives for eternity. Lord, I thank you for this truth that you have laid in my heart. Thank you for this time we were able to share this with others, Lord. Pray you give us a good rest of the evening. In your name, pray. Amen.